me, Mr. Buckmaster, with you. It's the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, January 28th, 2021, in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Tom Fairbanks, my buddy, engineering and producing on the other side of the glass. Tom, I looked at the, when it was all said and done, it was a three-day rain and snow event in southern Arizona, and the numbers were about 6/10 of an inch of moisture. So,
you know, they must have an umbrella over their rain gauge at the airport.
I think we got a little bit more than that up in our neck of the woods in the central foothills.
Did you hear they got like 10 feet or more in the Sierras in California and places?
Yeah.
And on top of that, you know, in Hawaii, where they have those observatories on the Big Island, up on the volcano mountain, extinct volcano, they got snow there, too, quite a bit.
So there you go. Anyway, we are closing out this week, our first month into a year 11 on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We're on 1030. This is our home station, 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com, where we take the live feed from KVOI.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line for our conversation to get our show going today with Sharon Bronson, Pima County Supervisor representing District 3 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. She was recently elected the chairwoman of this newly constituted board with three new board members. Sharon Bronson, how are you?
I am doing fine, Bud, and I mean Bud.
He is a friend of mine, so that's okay.
No. I was just talking to someone from Ajo, Arizona, Bud Kleinfelter.
Oh.
His son just died. And, Bill, it's been a fun year. Yes, I'm doing fine. Got lots of snow out at my place and was hoping for more, but I don't think that's going to happen. How about you?
We just got some flurries, but oddly enough, as I came down to the station, here at the station, it looked like maybe a quarter of an inch of snow, so it really stuck down here. It was an odd event. I mean, normally snow in the desert, we would get snow, as you know, Sharon Bronson. It's a nighttime thing, but this was a daytime event, and the last time it snowed here was also a daytime event. That was 2 years ago in February when we had 2 to 6 inches of snow. So I'm sure you got quite a bit of snow back in 2019 at your place.
We did, and then I can remember, was it in the late 80s, early 90s, when we got snow on Christmas Day.
Yeah, now that one, I was just driving into town after that big snowfall was moving from San Jose, where I was anchoring the TV news and taking my new job at Channel 6. And when I got to town, maybe it was a day or two after, there was a lot of snow still on the ground. So
stuck.
It stuck. So it's always fun when we get snow. What are these numbers looking like? I checked again today. I've been checking. I check every day the database for the Arizona Health Department. We had been running as high as 2,000 cases a day in Pima County. COVID-19 cases now today were, I think, about 400 something. So they are going down a bit.
They're definitely declining. The question is this going to continue, or given the new strains, are we going to see more infections? People still need to be aware that they need to social distance, wear their masks, and the Pima County Health Department, through its partners at Banner University Medicine and Tucson Medical Center, We began vaccinations December 14th, and between January 15th and 22nd, we opened three more vaccination centers, and to date, we've vaccinated nearly 100,000 people out of the what we're estimating is 750,000 we need to vaccinate to put a stop to this virus. So keep social distancing, keep wearing the mask, and when your turn comes, please get vaccinated. TMC and Banner have been just vital partners in our effort, and we are working. And we want to thank, of course, the City of Tucson, the University of Arizona, Marana Health Center, Sells Hospital, and Veterans Health Administration for helping us as we try to test and vaccinate. So, again, and always to the army of selfless volunteers that are staffing our vaccination centers and giving their time, they can't be thanked enough.
I'm in that group now that is eligible for a shot if you go to Phoenix, because I'm in that 64 or 65 to 74 group. And for us in that group, there's only one thing that is on our mind right now. We're just counting the days till we can make an appointment in Pima County, because I particularly don't want to drive up to Phoenix to get into that, because I know people who are doing that, but I would prefer to do it locally.
Well, we're hoping that will happen soon. The health the Department of Health Services director in Phoenix, Dr. Christ, indicated that she had reached out to us to try to set up a site similar to those they have in Maricopa County. To our knowledge, we have not been contacted. I think the county administrator is in contact with her, saying we will take your help and we can, if you want to provide us that help, we can open up a center at Rialto Racetrack. So we're hoping that will happen. But again, you know, the what is preventing us from vaccinating more is not that we don't have the facilities, but we don't have the vaccines. So that's what's challenging for not only Pima County, but for the other 13 counties outside of Maricopa County. We are simply lacking the vaccines. Again, want to emphasize Pima County has the capacity to vaccinate, but without the vaccines, that capacity goes to waste.
Are we getting more vaccine than we had, say, a week or two ago?
We are told we are. At this point, we are still hoping that we can count on that. But we'll see. And I think the other thing that's rather challenging is that the people who have been hurt most in terms of the economics on this are those who can afford it the least. And so how do we work through that? And we know that 1 in 10 Pima County residents have contracted COVID, and 1,700 of them have died. We've got challenges.
Someone just asked me, a listener, can you have a drive up to these sites? If we were to do the Rialto site, would that be a drive-up situation, or would you still have to make an appointment? That's what's got people so freaked out of these appointments. Hopefully we'll get to the point where you can walk into a CVS, a Walgreens, a Safeway, and get the shot like you would a flu shot. I think that would be the goal.
That certainly is the goal, but again, it depends on it's a supply side issue. If you don't have the vaccine, you can't vaccinate, bottom line. And, you know, we are doing all we can as a county, and at an immense expense to us. It's worth $2 million a week either to prevent or mitigate the effects of COVID, whether it's testing, contact tracing, business assistance, rent and utility assistance, education and awareness. We're taking mitigation measures and regulatory actions to control or try to stop the rate of infection.
All right, we're going to pause right here to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. It's always when we're talking about these heavy-duty subjects like shots and getting the vaccine, I always love to talk about Mona's because it's a feel-good story. It's comfort food. Everybody loves bakeries. Some of my earliest memories, Mom taking me to the bakery in Wilmette, Illinois before we went down to the beach on Lake Michigan. So I've got a real soft spot when it comes to bakery goods. And at Mona's Danish Bakery, they're open right now for lunch. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're home of the Danish Kringle. A Kringle is a beautiful pastry. Comes in a variety of stuffings, different flavors, like almond and blueberry. And speaking of blueberry, I love the blueberry muffins, but I'll tell you, lately I'm craving kind of a new item for me, the cinnamon rolls. Maybe it's the weather, but I'm in kind of a cinnamon roll mood, and I can't wait actually to Saturday when I go up to Steve and the owner, Mona's, and say, look, I want one of those cinnamon rolls. Right now they are open. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com, open 6:30 in the morning, and they close at 2 or 3 in the afternoon, depending on whether it's the weekend or weekdays. We'll be right back in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined, because without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Speaking of the Reed Park Zoo, we are so delighted to welcome them to the fold of the Buckmaster Show sponsors. I don't know if you've gone to their website. It's really gone viral, actually all over the country. The elephants, including the baby at the Reed Park Zoo, playing in the snow as the snow was falling. They weren't playing really in snow. They were playing in mud, and it was really, really cute. So if you get a chance, go to the Reed Park Zoo's website. We're so happy to have them as a sponsor. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line is sponsored by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Sharon Bronson, Pima County Chairperson, Board of Supervisors. Sharon, did you see that video of the elephants playing?
I did. I can only imagine. They're very, very bright creatures.
Yep.
What they must have been thinking. But they certainly were enjoying themselves, as I was. Catching the snowflakes.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Sticking our tongues out and catching the flakes. Mr. Huckleberry was the administrator, Pima County, longtime administrator, was with Dan Scheer and I on the program on Friday. And he mentioned that the money, let's see, $87 million in CARES money, that's the federal money, to cover COVID expenses has already been exhausted. The bills are still coming in, and if we don't get any help from the federal government, we're looking, I think he said, 50-some million dollars in the hole.
Yes, so that will make for an interesting budget cycle. And I don't know if we don't get reimbursement, what we're going to do. And I think the other piece, I mean, as we look at the budget cycle, that's one piece. The other piece is there is a point at which right now we are going to have to decide what the Pima County Health Department can expend giving the vaccinations, doing the testing, and doing everything else. We may have to cut back and stop if we don't have sufficient funds currently. So it's not only about looking into the future at our budget coming up in the 2021-22 budget cycle, but also what's going to happen in the next month to 6 weeks if we don't get some assistance. And I don't have an answer to that. I mean, we're going to have to start rationing what we're doing in terms of giving out vaccines, because the county health department is paying for those. And we are doing it out of our general fund, which is about depleted at this point.
What are our legislative delegations telling you about this?
Crickets.
Nothing. Yeah.
Nothing. Uh-huh. No, we're not seeing much assistance from Maricopa, from our legislature at all.
Speaking of Mr. Huckleberry, you voted with the majority on the board. It was a 4-1 vote. Mr. Christie saying no, Mr. Huckleberry should not get a renewal for your contract renewal. The board voted to give him that renewal. We had a listener who's concerned that Mr. Huckleberry, that part of the contract, because there is a provision that he could also be a contractor, they're concerned about double dipping. What do you say to that?
Well, I think that, you know, that's always a concern, but it's always, you know, that's always been a possibility within his contract. As you know, he has served us. Well, I was started on the board in 1997. He was there as the county administrator several years prior to that. He's the longest serving county administrator in Pima County history. In addition to that, his He has gotten us through COVID, and he is very valuable in terms of his institutional knowledge. But to the point of the double dipping, again, that was a 4-1 vote of the board and has always been a possibility, whether, and I guess there's nothing else I can say except I think we need him there. We need all of us to be together to make sure that we get through COVID and recover from it, both in the sense of getting the health piece back together, but getting the economy back on track, because those who have suffered the most are those who can least afford it. So we're going to have some tough, tough decisions to make at budget time and perhaps in the next month if we don't get some assurance of reimbursement from either the state or the federal government when it comes to the COVID-19 infections in Pima County.
All right, let's go to caller Matt. He called us on the live line, 790-2040. Hey, Matt, you're with Sharon Bronson.
Yes, thank you, Supervisor Bronson. Appreciate everything the board is doing. My comment about vaccines was to encourage, I know you sent a letter to the governor or to the state, but I would also encourage you on supply to send a letter or possibly reach out to Senator Kelly or Senator Sinema or both of them and encourage them to ask whoever is the distributor, CDC or department, whichever department, why there isn't a way to distribute our supply to Pima County directly, given that we're the second largest community, because we're not confident that we're getting our full allotment. And also on that note, and I'll be very quick, President Biden just yesterday noted that he was, apportioning per population, per state. But Arizona needs to be at the top of the list because they should be more descriptive in saying that the vaccinations are needed for the 75, 65 and above greater population. And we should be, as a state, we're a high retiree state. We have greater population of elderly. We need more doses to this state. This is the reason, if that's how they're distributing this state to state, they're completely misunderstanding who needs to be vaccinated sooner, and somebody needs to wake them up.
Okay.
I couldn't agree with you more, Matt.
I say amen to that. Somebody needs to wake them up.
And we've already reached out and having conversations with Senator Sinema, Senator Kelly, as well as Representative Grijalva and Representative Kirkpatrick. They are aware. But I think, Matt, to your point, the most important piece is rather than have it come to the state, it needs to go to us directly, because one of our challenges and frustrations is the state is getting the vaccine, but it takes forever for us to get it. We're not sure how they are apportioning, how they distribute the vaccine. And so I agree, and I would urge you and everybody to talk to your members of Congress, your legislators, and our governor, and tell them to get Pima County more vaccine. But in particularly our members of Congress, we need it directly distributed and not going through the state. That's a roadblock for us right now.
All right. I've got about a minute left with Sharon. Do we have time, Tom, to work David in calling us from Marana? David has a comment about COVID-19. Quickly, David, I'll give you about 20 seconds for your question.
Well, the reason why it's so bad in Arizona is because of the population growth. Marana wants to bring in another 50,000 people here. And this is just the fuel for the pandemic. This is treason of fuel for a wildfire in a forest. People are fuel for this pandemic, and they're trying to cram more people in this area. And this is just more fuel for the pandemic.
There you go, Sharon. Any comment?
I I am not on the town of Marana's council, but I think that certainly those are issues to consider. But more importantly, let's get this pandemic under control. I don't know what our brave new world is going to look like once we get it under control, but we need to do that, and I think that's where our focus should be right now. I don't know what the new post-pandemic normal will be like. I hope there will be less suffering and death, and ultimately that's what matters most.
Yeah, and right now at the top of the list, getting some vaccine down here to Pima County. I'll tell you, we're all frustrated about that. The anxiety level continues to be at an area where it shouldn't be, if you know what I mean, Sharon Bronson.
I do, and we have, Bill, the capacity to get everyone vaccinated in less than 3 months if we had the supply. That's the reality.
Okay, Sharon Bronson, thank you very much. Have a great afternoon.
You too.
Sharon Bronson on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line guests appear courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We're at the midway point of our Thursday program. Coming up tomorrow, City Manager Mike Ortega, the City Manager of Tucson. They're having a big budget retreat today, the council. We'll talk about what they're going to do right after we take a break.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios after our three-day rain and snow event, which was so welcome. Things are looking greener over on the 13 acres at Green Things, where they've got some amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. Spring planting is coming up. Can't wait. They're open daily at 3384 East River Road. Their website is greenthingsaz.com, and they're also their sister business is Zocalo Village. They've got five standalone buildings that make up Zocalo Village, and they have all sorts of beautiful Talavera pottery, handmade furniture, lighting, home accessories, and more. ZocaloVillage.com is their website. Our Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Amid the images and videos that emerged from the January 6th Capitol rampage, the sight of a man casually carrying the Confederate battle flag outside the Senate floor was one of the most troubling reminders of the persistence of white supremacy more than 150 years after the end of the Civil War. Joining us on the live line from Richmond, Virginia, is Keith McIntosh, Vice President for Information Services, Chief Information Officer at the University of Richmond, where Keith has led a weekly cross-cultural conversation for the past 3 years. Keith writes and speaks extensively about diversity, equity, and inclusion. After serving with the United States Air Force, had a very distinguished 24-year stint in the Air Force, Keith started his higher education career at Pima Community College as the chief IT officer, then went on to serve in a similar position at Ithaca College in New York before joining the management team at the University of Richmond. Keith joining us on the radio now from Richmond. Keith, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you on the program. What are some of the thoughts that were going through your mind as you saw those images of the Confederate flag in the nation's capital? And the historians, Keith, tell us that what we saw there was the first time that someone had actually managed to bring the Confederate flag into the building as an act of insurrection.
Yeah, Bill, I tell you what, I had a lot of thoughts. Some would probably be for a public conversation and some for private. But for the public conversation, I will say, as a former military person and as a black man living in this country, I was shocked and appalled. And it was deeply concerning and upsetting to me. I think about last year, what a difference a year makes when we had an opportunity to speak. And it reminds me of why the cross-cultural conversations that I have on my campus began in the first place. It was after the tragic events that happened in Charlottesville on August 30th, 2017, which also had a loss of life. And here we fast forward to those events on January 6th, and you see similar activities. It was just, I was shocked and appalled and upset.
Doesn't seem like we're making much progress, Keith McIntosh.
No, Bill, I'm a glass half full. I'm very optimistic. And I think about, when you and I spoke last year, it's been different. We have the COVID-19 pandemic has hit, and all those United States citizens who've lost their lives, over 400,000. We've had, racial unrest and social unrest. We had the tragic events that took the lives of Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and George Floyd. And we've all experienced the COVID impact, but especially on the financial side. And then you had the tumultuous election cycle, and then you had these events. And it just feels like it's been very draining. And I believe we're making progress, but it feels sometimes like it's two steps forward and three steps back sometimes.
Keith, I'm telling you, it feels like two lifetimes since you were last with us, talking with us from Richmond on King Day in 2020. And here we are a little over a year after King Day 2021. And I'll tell you, Keith, it seems like ancient history when you were speaking so eloquently with us on the radio. Think about all you mentioned, those high profile racial incidents, 20, and then you had the COVID thrown in. What a year.
Yeah, what a year. And, you know, we also lost some, and it's interesting, we also lost some really hallmark civil rights leaders. You know, we lost John Lewis. We lost Reverend Cordy Tyndall or C.T. Vivian. These men worked alongside Dr. King for racial justice in the 1960. I'm reminded of John Lewis, what he says, and it's something I'm trying to live by, you know, to help us advance inclusion in our world. We need to get into good trouble, right? And he means by that, let's speak out or call out injustices when we see it, right? That's what we need to do. And I'm enlightened. I would say there's wind in my sails when I see how many people who have been sitting on a sideline and maybe were ignorant of what the racial and social injustices are in our country, who are now more, as we say, the young kids say, more woke, and they are now unable to sit on the sideline. And we need those folks to step up and speak up and do, as John Lewis said, get into good trouble.
I'm very curious, Keith McIntosh, has the tone of your weekly meetings, your cross-cultural discussions that you hold there at the University of Richmond, did the tone change as we went through 2020? I'm sure people were very angry over some of these really high-profile incidents like the George Floyd incident.
Yeah, you know, that's very astute of you, very spot on. After those incidents, you know, we typically meet an hour a week, but for those events, when those happen, we had like two-hour events, and typically we have a good turnout, but the turnout for those meetings around those particular cases more than tripled the attendance, and a lot of it was really folks expressing their extreme frustration, disappointment, and what it did was encourage people to not sit on the sideline. You know, one of the things I pride myself in is cross-cultural awareness, understanding other folks, having empathy for folks that are not like you, and trying to seek some type of common ground where we can connect with one another instead of being so divisive. And I'm still always going to be about those things. I often talk about awareness and understanding, but this year, myself and many of the folks who come to Intersections were moved to what can we do now, right? It's not enough to grow and be aware. We have to do something. If not, how will things change? So I think that's what's really, and that's a good thing. I think that's what's inspired here with the group at the University of Richmond. Let's do more.
Has the race card project come up at these meetings?
Well, you know, last year we were very fortunate to have Miss Michelle Norris. She was fantastic. What a treat. And we talked about the race card project. We have not really dove back into that, but we have taken the model that she has shared with us and used it to expose our conversation to what other demographics what did they experience. So, for example, we took a couple of weeks to really dive deep to understand what it meant to be Jewish in the United States and some of the things that our Jewish brothers and sisters experience and the history of what's happened there. We also took a couple of weeks to expand and looking at what it's like to be Muslim in our country and what does Islamophobia look like, right? These are real things that our Jewish brothers and sisters and our Muslim brothers and sisters experience each and every day. And right now we're going through a conversation that's really focused on our Hispanic or Latino brothers and sisters, Latinx brothers and sisters, right? It's just helping ourselves, and it's no fault. I think a lot of times folks get really wrapped around the axle, if you will, about, well, I grew up this way. I don't know anything about anybody else. But you can. We live in a day and age where it's relatively easy to learn about other cultures if you so choose. And so that's what I'm really proud of. This year, we're taking the Race Card Project, Bill, and we're actually looking at other demographics and really trying to understand what they experience. And I think when you do that, you can look at things on the news or in your personal life or in your neighborhood with a different perspective. And you can do the things like John Lewis said, get into good trouble by speaking out.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation with Keith McIntosh from the University of Richmond, who is on our live line. We'll continue on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We're going to open the phone lines up if someone would like to join in the conversation, a question or comment for Keith McIntosh, 790-24 Buckmaster. We'll be right back.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. One of our great sponsors is Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. The numbers are looking better. The case count over in New Mexico has been going down, the COVID case count, and so we're all keeping our fingers crossed that the day will be coming very soon that the land of enchantment, New Mexico, will once again be open to out-of-state visitors. So now's the time to start planning for your trip. It's only a three-hour drive from Tucson, a beautiful area, including the Gila National Wilderness, the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. It's a really beautiful area. Check out what to do and where to stay by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our conversation with Keith McIntosh, the Vice President for Information Services and the Chief Information Officer at the University of Richmond, where he leads a weekly cross-cultural conversation for the past 3 years. And Keith writes and speaks extensively about diversity, equity, and inclusion. Keith, I wonder if what Dr. King would would have said about those images of the Confederate flag at the Capitol? What do you think he might have said publicly, at least?
Well, you know, I don't know if I have a good answer. I really, it's something I think about often, though. I don't think, you know, what I know about Dr. King is he is, you know, a man of unity and embracing one another and using love. And I know that he would probably express love for those who went into the Capitol, and even those probably carrying the Confederate flag. But I also he would call out that we still live in a very divisive and divided country, and we can and should do better. I think that's what he would try to implore upon us.
How about you, as a black man in America, how has your experience changed? Big improvements, medium improvements, little improvements, Keith McIntosh?
Yeah, Bill, great question. I know I don't want to speak for all black people in America, but I will say it's been an interesting past year. Now, part of what I'm going to share with you is because we've been, all of us, pretty much on lockdown in our homes, so I don't get out as much as I used to. But I can tell that it just feels like for me, it's a heavy weight to carry. You know, there's this tax that people of color carry in our country, and it does not matter what your level of education or affluence is. And I think if you're in positions like me, you have a little more privilege, so it doesn't weigh on you as heavily, but it does weigh on you. And I think these events of the past year, I can tell you, when Ahmaud Arbery, when I saw those events and when I saw what happened to George Floyd, those hit me hard because those could be me. Those could be my children. And there would be nothing that I could have done to prevent it, right? And I think, why is that? What was the only thing that really was the common denominator was the person was black in this country? And I hope that this year has educated folks that we need to do a better job of really seeking to understand folks, not categorizing all people into one large group, and really singularly understanding why we feel the way we feel about people and where does that come from, and is it still valid or was it ever valid, and question those things.
It's a 400-year legacy of slavery, Keith McIntosh, and we keep saying we're making progress, but I think a lot of people are very cynical about that. It's like, what is it going to take to turn this country around, Keith?
Yeah, so I don't know if I have that big picture question.
I'm hitting all the big topics today with you. The big questions.
Yes, you are. And Bill, I knew you would, and I appreciate it. But here's what I tell everybody, right? We all have a sphere of influence, each and every one of us. We impact people, each and every one of us. We need people, each and every one of us. And we make choices each and every day. I would implore folks to educate yourself about people that are not like you. Make a conscious decision to do better in your sphere of influence. Now, that may sound kumbaya, but for me, if we do that, I think we can change and we can make change be more permanent. And I truly believe we can make some improvement. We won't change and eliminate racism completely, but I think the more we do that, the better we can understand each other. We live in a multicultural world. We live in a multicultural country. I know there are some aspects of our country where it's very homogenous, but it is hard for us to get through a day, a week, a month, a year without interacting with people that have something that have come from a different background. And we should just seek to learn and understand each other better. And I think if we do that, Bill, I truly believe we'll make improvements.
You're talking about what has often been referred to as the other, the people who are different from ourselves, right, Keith?
Yes, exactly. When I say, you know, and the other is, and it goes for, I grew up as a young black child and a black man in America, and my perspective is my perspective. But I didn't grow up around Jewish people. So what can I do? And it's on me, not on Jewish people. It's on me to learn and understand what is it like to be Jewish in this country? What is it about their faith? And to make informed decisions. And in addition to doing research on my own, connect with people from the Jewish faith and Jewish background and understand that not all Jewish people are alike, and learn and do that across spectrums, whether that's LGBTQ, whether that's Jewish, whether that's Islam, whether that's Hispanic, whether that's Black, whether that's Native and Indigenous people, Native American. Do those types of things. Those folks are different. And then what you'll find out, Bill, especially as somebody who's been a military brat and lived in the military and lived across this great country and around the world, we have much more in common and much more similar with one another than we do differences. We really do.
Tell our listeners a bit about your these cross-cultural discussions, which I believe should become a model for every university in the United States, what you've done, Keith, there. You really, the kudos to you. Do you have white kids there? You've got people of all colors, I assume.
Yes, we do. We have students from all demographics across pretty much all across the United States, and we also have students from around the world. So, I mean, and granted, we are a work in progress, but higher education institutions are definitely a place where our students and our faculty and our staff could be a place where folks can learn. It's probably the best place and maybe be the only place where you can learn to understand folks that are different than you. We come here to learn, whatever that is, whether that is for the sciences or for the arts, for law or for medicine, whatever that may be. But you're also learning about yourself and you're learning about others. And so our conversations, we just planned our 2021 conversations where we sit down and we think about, as a group, inclusively, what do we want to discuss this year? And then we lay out a framework by month of the topics we want to talk, and we ask that different people lead the conversation, and members come, and we have ground rules on how we want to respect each other, because I think that's an important part of what's the model for having a conversation, because you'll hear things and you'll experience things that might be a trigger for you, and there's a model for how you can respond to things that you may not agree with or cause you a little bit of angst. And I think, and the thing that I would tell folks, that it has paid dividends, and this has grown so much. And the conversations we're having now, I get thanks every day, but it's really a we thing. Although I launched it, it exists and continues because folks continue to want to come back, and each person grows and develops from participating.
Keith, I'm about out of time, but I know the governor of Virginia appointed you to serve on the Virginia War Memorial Board. You concluded, I believe, a three-year term last year. What came out of that, Keith, real quickly?
Well, one of the things, that was, thank you for that. It was an extreme honor to serve on the Virginia War Memorial Board with colleagues from around the state, the Commonwealth of Virginia. And one of the things that the Virginia War Memorial is one of the top war memorials in the country, in my opinion. And we do a fantastic job here of honoring our veterans who have paid the ultimate sacrifice in this state. And one of the things we did was add, I wasn't the sole person, but we did add a new wing and a new section to the building, which has now made it much grander. And we had an opening at the beginning of this, January 2020, matter of fact, is when we had that opening. So thank you for that.
Congratulations, Keith McIntosh, on all you're doing at the University of Virginia. We miss you here in Tucson. And keep up the good work, though, Keith. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill, and to all my Tucson friends. Thank you, too. Miss you guys.
All right, Keith McIntosh with us on the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow we will have the city manager, Mr. Ortega, joins us on the Buckmaster Show, having a big retreat about the budget. That's going to be very interesting to hear about what went on today at that city council retreat. So many questions about where are we going to get the money to cover a lot of this COVID deficit that's going on. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey is popular show on Money is next. Have a great afternoon.